top headlines.
All right, Celtics are off tonight, but we do have some updates for you. Shane Larkin was let out of the hospital last night after spending some time there with the flu. He will not travel with the team. Terry Rozier, by the way, he's not practicing today. He's got a sore ankle. Red Sox back at it tonight when they take on the Marlins. Brian Johnson gets the start for Boston. First pitch is at 7:10. Elsewhere in the AL East today, opening day at Yankee Stadium between the Rays and Yankees has been postponed due to weather until tomorrow. Blue Jays host the White Sox, and Chris Tillman gets the start for the Orioles when they visit the Astros. Bruins fell to the Flyers in overtime yesterday, 4-3. They'll visit the Lightning on Tuesday. As we just mentioned, national championship game is tonight between Michigan and Villanova. That one tips off at 9:20. In the NFL, former Jets and Giants quarterback Geno Smith has reached agreement on a one-year deal with the Chargers. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Cool Sculpting. Freeze away your fat for good with Dr. Joseph Russo's team today. Call 617-964-1440 or josepharussomd.com. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app today.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Listen live.
I don't buy this for a second.
Podcasts, tweets, and more.
Love it.
Available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What do you got, Zoe? You got an update or something? You just told me.
I got two little things here.
What?
This in that Jim Nance was on Dan Patrick and said that San Antonio, for him calling the Final Four, is one of his top three places to have
it. He said it during the games. He shouted out San Antonio as a great host city.
Well, he must love the hotel. They must cook his toast perfectly. Burnt.
Oh, yeah. He's got the card, right?
When you're Jim Nance and you get shuffled around and it's some Four Seasons are nicer than the others. That's all I'm going to say. Sometimes
I've never been, but that Riverwalk area is supposed to be unbelievable for like an event like this, yeah. Super Bowl. Or
I'm
not
sure
Super Bowl,
it is.
But like the Final Four, they do other
a little
like,
boats in it. Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Bowl games.
Yeah, the bowl games. The bowl games. People rave about it.
And we got an email of the day here from Jimmy C. I was wondering if your boy Bertrand was happy to see Gino Auriemma go down with UConn and the way they went down to Notre Dame in the women's semi.
Well, I don't really care one way or the other about this. This is more of a Shaughnessy thing than it is for me.
Yeah.
But I've got a bone to pick with Dan Shaughnessy tomorrow. Because I've repeatedly asked Dan about this. Dan, what's your fix? If you want to bitch about this nonstop,
right,
what's your fix? And he doesn't have one, number one. And number two, he completely changed his take on Twitter.
Yeah, did you see that?
Did you see that tweet?
Yeah. Good for the game. Good for the game.
I want to read it now that someone brought this up.
Yeah. I mean, talking about competition during the year.
Did you? Yeah. I tuned in once I saw the score, and I just happened to get home from going out, and I was like, oh, there's like 5 minutes left. I'll watch the end.
Oh, my God. And then the same girl hit the next shot the next day.
Oh, my God. The finish of yesterday's game was
five
insane.
5 minutes, and then I watched the whole overtime.
Talk about a Hail Mary.
Oh, I got to get this tweet up. Hold on. It's from Shaughnessy over the weekend. Where is it?
But I didn't watch yesterday.
Though. Here it
is. I didn't stick around for the championship
game.
Here we go.
Here's Shaughnessy's tweet from over the weekend. He tweets, the point is made. Gino Auriemma is great when it's 94-18 and the other team can't compete, but UConn women don't win when someone stands up to them. Perhaps better competition during the season would help this. Best women's games of the last 10 years were UConn losses. Hashtag good for the game. So he's always on this good for the game thing. Since when was his take that UConn loses when people stand up to them? When the hell has that ever been his take? His take has always been, UConn crushes everybody like a bug. Nobody can compete with UConn. Now it's, aha, they lost. My point is made. The hell are you talking about, Dan? That's actually the opposite of what your point was.
Shaughnessy.
That is moving the goalposts if you're Dan Shaughnessy right there. Moving them to just fit whatever it is you want to do, which is have an agenda against Gino Auriemma, which is fine. You don't like Gino Auriemma. All power to you. Celebrate him losing. But don't tell me your point was made. Your point was not made. They lost. They didn't win it all. So we'll get to that with Shaughnessy tomorrow. I root against UConn and everything. Can't stand UConn, McCone.
Unbelievable.
He's on the line? Shaughnessy's calling in? Good.
Oh,
we'll do it right now.
Oh.
Dan, that was never your point.
What about reading comprehension 101 here? What part did you get here?
Your reading, I just read the tweet. You said your point was made that when people and teams stand up to UConn, they lose.
Right. Maybe Geno should have saved some of those 94 first half points against St. Francis for the Notre Dame game. You know, I mean, they love to like beat the crap out of people. And then when it's a close game.
The schedule's a schedule, Dan. Man, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, well, they're in a conference, which it's not their fault, and you know all that. I mean, he schedules out of conference. He schedules everybody. He plays everybody. We get that. But how is it that they crush people and they pile on and try to win by 100, and then they have lost their last 7 overtime games? I mean, so anytime anybody stands up to them or plays them, you know, competitively. They don't know how to do it.
Okay, but your point was always that the games are never in doubt when UConn's playing. These games are in doubt when they get to the end.
Well, they are 180-2 in the last whatever it is.
Okay, so, yeah, and that's been your point.
Right.
That they're far and away better than everybody else, and therefore they are not good for the game.
No, so what is good for the game is them losing and them being in a tight game. And the Notre Dame, you know, the game last night, those are the best games of the women's tournament in the last 10 years. 2 UConn losses and last night's Notre Dame win. Games are great.
I don't disagree with you. I just think the point that they crush everybody doesn't hold up now because they lost.
But I understand that. But it's like when they get in a tight game, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't remember talking about that with you at any point in time. And we've had numerous conversations on the topic.
It's only happened like twice in the last like 5 years, whatever. But when it happens, they lose.
But they've also, as you said, as you rightly pointed out, we're debating something that I could really not care any less about than I do right now.
Yeah, women's basketball.
But they do schedule real teams. Like, they're not one of these fraud college teams that don't, like Calhoun used to do. Oh,
okay.
Hey, tell me, McCone, when do they have Quinnipiac on the schedule again?
Right,
What's Davidson doing?
Like, they beat Louisville, and they beat Notre Dame. Like, they played real teams this year.
But even the their margin of victory is like 45 or whatever it is. And even the ESPN commentators who are, you know, into women's basketball said they need to be in a better conference because they're not used to these like close games and getting into these games. And again, what good is it to score 94 points in the first half of an NCAA tournament game and then a week later you lose in double overtime as you lost the year before? 7 overtime losses in a row for a team that loses like once every 100 games. What does that tell you?
All I know is that they routinely blew out top 10 teams, top 25 teams this year. So they've matched up. I mean, they beat Notre Dame, the team they lost to. They beat them by 9 back in December.
Mm. Right.
So they played them in the regular season and won.
How do they do when it's not a blowout?
I mean, is 9 a blowout?
No.
It's not.
That's close game.
I just think
UConn standards. That's close game.
I just think you don't like Geno Auriemma, and that's okay. You don't have to like that guy.
He's a bully who piles on the other team.
That's fine.
Put in the gap and tries to win by 100.
Just,
you know, when you try to win by 100, a week later, you lose in double overtime. That's on you.
Just don't tell me this was your point in the beginning, because it wasn't. It wasn't your point, Dan.
The point has always been it's competition. Competition is good. So when they have competition, we like that. That's good.
I agree.
They don't have enough. That's not their fault. Not having competition is not their fault. It's not the girls' fault. And again, the coach and the girls, they have been like really very classy in their losses. They don't complain. They don't cry. They give to the other team, all that stuff. I just wish they wouldn't try to beat people by 100 and then tighten up in the close games. What's up with that?
Are we going to see you tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, 11-1, I'm there.
All right, bring it. We'll see you then.
All right.
See you, bud. Dan Shaughnessy, the boss of Globe, on the Expert Hotline.
They showed a graphic in the game that the senior class at that point had a record of 148-2.
Yep.
And that was the second best for a UConn senior class.
You don't have it.
148-2.
But look, I just pulled it up, right? Like, you go back to January. They played Texas. They were ranked 8th in the country at the time. They won by 4. They beat Texas by 4. UConn beat Notre Dame, who was 5 at the time in the country. Beat them by 9. Those are not blowouts. Jim, those are top teams. The one blowout they did have against a top 10 team, they crushed South Carolina 83-58.
That 9-point win over Notre Dame, that's a tight one.
And that was early February.
There were two UConn grads on the game when Notre Dame hit the game when it shot against them. They didn't know what to say. Like, they're so devastated. We got to get that clip. We got to find that.
No, what?
They kept rerunning it all day on
Saturday. When does Calhoun schedule Central Connecticut State again there, okay. McCone?
Yeah, you guys got a new coach here, right? Got a new coach?
Yeah, we got CCSU on the
gonna be
calendar
down in Rhode Island
November.
Crying now, get Hurley gone.
Quinnipiac, the big Quinnipiac showdown.
Is he going to run with the big dogs? Story. Is he going to be afraid or is he going to run with the big dogs?
Never.
Yeah, we got Albany coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, where he pees his pants and he sees Jim Boeheim.
Bunch of crap teams that he used to schedule. 617-779-0985. Is a phone number. Let's get back to Rob Gronkowski. Gronk, Red Sox, Bruins. We will eventually touch on the Celtics today as well. And a mashup type of day.
And
here.
We still got to the space station coming
down. Oh, the space station's back.
Damn
baby.
It.
Back to Earth.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
For Gronkowski, he is just physically and mentally spent and doesn't feel like much has changed this offseason to make him think that that's going to be any different this coming year. That being said, like I mentioned, he is, quote, pretty certain he'll come back as long as Brady's committed. Belichick is a little bit frustrated because he feels like Gronkowski is not, quote, all in, which is obviously a critical component to his blueprint. He has cited things to people close to him as nuanced as an Instagram post that Gronkowski posted about Danny Amendola signing with the Miami Dolphins, under which he said, be free, be happy. That didn't exactly make Belichick very happy. He was reading the underlying message there.
That's the latest on the Patriots situation with their tight end and their quarterback and their head coach having friction, having problems with one another. Gronk wanting to speak more, party more, celebrate more. I don't know. This is what I would do if I'm Bill Belichick. Call them both today. Pick up the phone. Rob. Bill. What do you want? What do you want? What is it that these guys want exactly? What does Rob Gronkowski want that he doesn't currently have? What do you think that answer would be? Give me the list, though, and I'll be Bill.
Okay. I think number one is money.
Maybe.
I think number two is the handcuffs that they put on him from the fun perspective. And not necessarily just allowing him to go to clubs. I'm talking about allowing him to speak freely. I think he is so guarded in what he says. Like, you know, I want to say it, but I can't. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's not changing.
That's not changing.
If you're Bill, you say no to that.
Right.
No.
And I think number three is Guerrero. Because I think he feels good physically.
So you think it's a three-parter for Gronk?
I just know this. When we used to work out, and it was either leg day, and it was squats or bench, and you did the chains, and you're running the stick, you bitch and you whine, and you just didn't look forward to going in to do it because it hurts your joints. You know, it rips your hamstrings, your quads. If you get to a certain point with him, and I think the band training works, and they're trying to tell him to do something different, I think that's a little division there.
That's the only place where I could see the team conceding something. And giving something back.
I disagree. I think that's a tough fix for Bill because you reinsert Guerrero. Now it's like, well, I thought it's your locker room coach to the other guys. Or you're making special, you know, you're doing nice things for two guys that you took away. Now all of a sudden you're reinserting him. Whose locker room is this? Is it theirs or yours? I think the easiest thing for him to do is give him more money.
I'm not saying bring him back in. I'm not saying put Guerrero back in the locker room. I'm saying that you lay off Gronkowski on doing the squats.
Yeah.
You don't have any team trainers breathing down his neck.
Right.
Telling him to do squats.
Right.
Because the truth is, though, even if you do have a team program and you have a team method of how you want the guys to train, Is it not acceptable to treat a guy who's had the number of surgeries and injuries that Rob Gronkowski has had differently than the rest of the roster?
Just
or is it not okay to treat a 41-year-old differently than you treat the rest of the roster? And I would say the same should be true for anybody else on the roster who has a certain injury or certain things that need to be managed differently. That doesn't need to just apply to Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski because they are star players. Everybody
could
have their own uniquely tailored program or different things that are allowed.
Bill's really given into this over the years because, I mean, Alex traveled with the team. He was always there with us. You know, it's just he's always in sight. Now it's like it's got to be separate. And
I'm not
forced.
I'm not saying he has to be brought back in the locker room.
I understand that.
I'm just saying that you get off the guy's back.
I mean, what if we hear we keep hearing, well, Brady's doesn't want to play ball and doesn't want to deal with the extension, you know, to the Bedard reporting of it. Say that extension gets done. And say you give Gronk. See, I think give Gronkowski $2 million a year. Just give him, let him separate from the crap tight ends. Because he's sitting there. And I don't think it started until free agency hit from the money perspective. I don't think Rob came out of that game and said,
so
you know what? I want more money.
Jim.
Until he saw the money being thrown around in free agency. And these crappy tight ends.
Oh, you almost said it. Almost.
These crappy tight ends getting $8 million a year.
Remember when Jim and I were yelling at each other about is it money or is it the desire to play right after the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Right? It can be both, but entirely separate at the same time. I was thinking a lot about this yesterday.
Blow my mind here.
Yeah. Ready? You ready for this? He may legitimately be thinking about retirement, which I believe he is genuine. It's not a play for more money. It's I'm broken down. It hurts me and pains me to go through a season. It takes a lot out of me. I'm not sure I want to do that again.
I can continue to make appearances and be paid for them. He can make money.
But if I do play, I'll tell you what, I ain't playing for the money I'm at now.
Right.
So the decision may not be influenced by money. The decision might be made solely on do I want to play, do I not want to play, based on how I feel. But if I do decide I'm playing, I can tell you I ain't playing for that salary.
See
how it could be both?
Yep.
Like, hey, we want to give you $2 million. I don't think that him getting the $2 million is, oh, I'm great. I'm all in now. It's, okay, well, that's good,
right.
But I'm still deciding whether or not I want to do
this. Let me throw this at you.
If I'm going to put up with your crap, I need more money to put up with your crap?
Or no, it's just I don't know if I want to put up with your crap, but if I decide I'm willing to do it, I know I'm not doing it for the current salary. But I'm not going to make the decision based on what the salary is.
Okay.
What do you think Belichick went to the Brady, Gronk, put it on the table? We're going to give you X amount of money, or we'll change the way we do things. You pick.
Money.
Which do they choose?
Money.
They would choose the money.
So it's really not that bad then?
Money security. Right. Now.
You're right. Everybody can be bought. That's true. I just think that if we're talking
security.
A couple of million, I don't think that's enough
to
sway it.
I don't know.
If they said, hey, we're going to give you a new 3-year extension, rip up your current deal.
The problem is these crappy tight ends.
It's going to pay you a boatload over the next 2 years.
He's on average, these crappy tight ends are now in Rob's ballpark, and that's what's pissing him off. And a guy like Sammy Watkins gets 16 a year.
I just don't think that
means Belichick's not pissing him off.
See, but I don't think the money is the thing
market.
That pisses him off.
No,
I think it's everything else.
I think it's reality because I call games and I know this offense. And the things that stand out fresh to me are his impact in that Pittsburgh game. Because I look at Pittsburgh as your main nemesis, your contender.
Let me put it to you like this. Can I put it to you like this?
They'll go backwards this year. Go ahead.
What's the bigger hurdle right now? Getting on the same page and everybody being okay with each other? Brady, Belichick, Gronkowski, or the money? What's a bigger hurdle? The money's easy.
Attention.
They just give more money. I don't think the money is a major hurdle. The hurdle is, can these guys all get along?
Okay.
Harmoniously,
well, say they can't.
And have everything go fine?
Well, say Bill's so stubborn, he believes it can't. We talked about a guy in Odell Beckham last week that I said I really don't want here because I think the guy's poison. But I've never seen two guys affect coverage. Julio Jones doesn't even affect coverage this way. To the point, you took Logan Ryan to match him up on him in a Super Bowl. He pretty much negated him. Catch? Yeah. And then boom, he's down. He didn't have any breakaway passes. So there's two guys in this league that I think you just can't cover. One's OBJ and the other one's Gronk. If you're hell-bent and you know that you can't work this out with Gronkowski, would you pick up the phone and say, call the Giants? Say, hey, we got a tight end that's upset. You have a receiver that's upset.
I'd say no.
You're asking for two first rounds.
No.
We can't give you two first rounders.
Nope.
But we have an all-world tight end.
This is going to be such nonsense if they trade this guy.
I mean, if it gets to break point with Bill and you're tired of it, what do you think he's going to do?
And if you do trade him, you've got to get a freaking haul.
Right.
After giving away Garoppolo?
Yeah, Gronkowski.
I'd rather trade him for Beckham than a pick.
Yeah, you can't trade him for draft picks.
You feel good about if,
you can't
but trust
would
him
you
to feel
make a
good about that trade?
There's nothing of
I'm
equal
not feeling
value
good about that
back.
Trade.
I'm talking about finding a high-end impact guy to put in your offense if you're getting rid of that guy.
I still
in your
don't
offense.
Feel good about that.
There's no one that saying. Can replace him, yeah.
But you understand from what I'm saying from the impact standpoint of a proven known commodity. The guy's nuts, but OBJ can play.
What do you
I
think
don't know.
Tom Brady's reaction is going to be if they trade Rob Gronkowski in the coming weeks, let's say prior to the draft?
I think he may not show up for OTAs. I wouldn't show up until camp.
He's going to lose his mind.
You think?
If this is truly a tandem of two guys against the team, and Brady and Gronk are uniting as one,
and they break it up,
the best way to do it is to break it up. The best way to fight against that is to break it up.
That's
right?
How Bill probably looks at it. That's why I think
you got it.
It's more likely than ever. That doesn't mean it is likely. Okay, that
means where does his head?
That means the difference between a 1% chance and a 3% chance. But how could you not say it's more likely than ever?
Divide and conquer. That's the strategy, right?
Don't say that, Jim.
I mean, and here's the funny thing. Like, this talk about tension, whether it has to do with Butler, I know you think it doesn't, Jim. Yeah. I still think that's the one that ripped the scabs off. And I know this tension's been going on all year and something's different this year. Here we are, heading towards the middle of April or the beginning of April. We still have a load of phones on Gronkowski in this issue.
Of course we do.
So let's get to it.
Of course we do. This is about the future of this team. It's about the next few years
People
of this
care
team.
Care about it. They know it.
Easily the most popular team in town. Headlines with McCone. We'll get to your calls next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics are off tonight, but we do have some stuff to get you caught up on. Shane Larkin has left the hospital after spending some time there with the flu. He is not going to travel with the team, though. Terry Rozier, he's not practicing today. He's dealing with a sore ankle. Seas visit the Bucks tomorrow night. Red Sox are back in action tonight when they take on the Marlins. Brian Johnson gets the start for Boston. First pitch is at 7:10. Elsewhere in the AL East, opening day at Yankee Stadium between the Rays and Yankees has been postponed due to weather until tomorrow. Blue Jays host the White Sox, and Chris Tillman gets the start for the Orioles when they visit the Astros. The Bruins fell to the Flyers 4-3 in overtime yesterday. Bruce Cassidy excited. Bruins. We'll visit the Lightning on Tuesday. National championship game tonight between Michigan and Villanova. Nova looking for their second championship in 3 years. Michigan looking for their first since 1989. Sports Hub headlines are going to be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com now to save up to $15 on your next oil change. For not the coupon, or pull it up on your mobile device. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's Home for Dick. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's only Ken Bertrand with you here on a Monday. A little bit of everything today, but the hot stuff still. The tension, or so reported on tension, that still exists within the Patriots organization between Belichick and Gronkowski. It's mainly Gronkowski now, according to Jeff Darlington. Let's get to some of your calls, 617-779-0985. People care about it. That's what it's about. Let's go to... Let's go to Mark in the car. You're up next here on Sports Hub. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Joe?
What's happening?
I just heard you guys on a little while ago. So I don't know if you guys heard. I heard you talking about money. Speaking of money, add another $5,000 to the Brad Marsh family.
Well, he gets paid nicely. Why do you got to add more to Marshan?
Because he just got fined another $5,000 for the cross-check lock right at McDonald's.
What, did you think it was dirty?
Well, yeah.
Hell yeah, it was.
But I'm starting to get that uneasy feeling that...
Two hands right to the face.
...is going to miss a few games in the playoffs. I just get this uneasy feeling to do something.
Well, does it shock you? I mean, does it shock you?
No, it doesn't shock me. Why can't he just hold his temper? Why can't he just do it? The guy's a prolific goal scorer. He's a superstar. He doesn't need to do it.
And he's also a prick, and that's how he plays. That's how he plays, Mark.
I understand that, but he's going to realize he's putting his team in jeopardy.
Yeah.
He's got to realize that.
I like him playing with an edge. A little push. Things are getting chippy this weekend with these teams. They're tired of getting pushed around, which is what I like. It's also an indicator, like, you're not going to hit us. You're not going to hit us late. You're not going to poke check us. You're going to get one in the face right back. I don't have a problem with what he did. Take someone's legs out? Yeah. He didn't hit him in the back. Hit him right in the face.
You think McDonald played it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
You see him get in the face? Oh! Oh! Oh, wow, 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 my face!
Doesn't matter. I mean, no, it was so such an obvious case dirty. Of being dirty.
It's just typical Marchand stuff.
What, so Brad didn't like getting hit into the boards?
Yeah.
So he had to put his stick to the guy's throat? That's what it looked like. I've come to accept it. I don't even complain. Whatever. Yo, that's the guy.
Yeah, why are you gonna complain about
that? That's the guy. That's who he is.
That comes with it.
Comes with the territory.
Prolific goal scorer that plays at an edge.
It's hard to complain about dirty plays against your team when you've got that guy playing for you. That's the way it goes.
It's kind of the saying now.
I just accept it now. That's a part of Brad Marchand. That's what you get. Paulie and Dedham. Paulie, you there now?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, boys. I ran to the store for a minute.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want another bank moment, you know, and it would have happened. Anyway, I love Marchand. I think he's just a tough, tough kid. He really is. He's tough. He backs it up.
Nice.
But anyway, Zoke, congratulations. You had Michigan coming right out of the gate on this one.
Michigan State.
Oh, did you say Michigan State?
Yes, sir.
It was Michigan.
No, sorry there, bud. Same state. If you want to give me the credit, that's fine.
Close. I haven't been
key up rival
tonight anyway. I really do. They got that big man in there. They got a big man.
They got a couple big men.
Yeah, and they can shoot it. Michigan better
big ugly ass kids.
They better stay after it. They better take care of the ball. Then that's the only way they have a chance. But to get to Gronkowski,
please.
You kind of stole some of my thunder, Zoe.
No, still back.
When you said give him $10 million, I believe his salary was $8 million, and he made $11 million. Yeah, I think he reached all his incentives last year.
Yeah.
I would tell him for starters, keep whatever you're in great shape all year. You're able to keep your body in good shape. Do what you're doing in your training regimen to keep yourself that way for starters. Number two, staying healthy all year.
Yeah.
And playing the way that you did, I would give him 2/3 of that money guaranteed that he had in incentives. Let's say he reached them all at 11. So I would give him 2 guaranteed, and I would spread that last million out in terms of like the 3 million, all the incentives that he had.
Just double the incentives.
To make 3, I would just make it 1. I would give him 2 guaranteed and spread the last million out because you're going to reach some sort of a compromise, but you're giving him the bigger piece of the pie going 2/3 of the way.
There's ways around this, Paul. You can guarantee next year. You can double the incentives the next year after that. I mean, there's ways to placate him.
Yeah, there's ways where it's not a lot of money. That's why I think it's a secondary hurdle. The biggest hurdle here is the relationship with the coach and the tight end. That's a bigger deal. That takes actual work. Like sitting down,
we have to,
discussing what your problems are. Not doing it in the form of a passive-aggressive Instagram post.
We should I think that's the tough part, right? When you put stuff on Instagram or Twitter, you don't really know tone. But I think we should revisit some of the sound we played earlier in the show of Gronkowski during the year, where he said some things post-game that we kind of played and addressed at the time, but didn't look at them as indicators as to... Boy, there's a big underlying current here that is a negative feeling between him and the way things are handled here. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should have read more into it at that time and give him more credit for it.
How about a name like Disco? Disco on the North Shore.
Disco!
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
How are you?
Not too bad today. Hey, listen, I kind of think that Belichick lost this locker room over the last couple of years with some of the moves that he's been making, with starting off with Jamie Collins. Then you got your issues with the signing with Gilmore. Alan Branch having issues, all these other underlying things.
Alan Branch had issues. He quit and got out of shape. Right? Alan Branch quit and got out of shape. He got fat and happy.
It's still an issue inside the locker room. Whether he got fat and happy for some specific reason, we don't know.
Then why did a couple players tell Mike Giardi to remain anonymous that the benching of Malcolm Butler was not without merit?
Well, regardless if it's without merit or not, the rest of the team doesn't feel that way. The rest of the team wants this team to succeed, and they don't want to deal with Belichick's version of way of doing things anymore. Brady's got this guy in his back pocket by the name of Michael Strahan, who, as if I'm correct, did the same thing to Tom Coughlin years ago, got him to change his ways.
And Stray ended up come crawling back, and what ended up happening? He ended up winning a championship or two.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense of what needs to happen with this team. Maybe Belichick needs to be checked in some way.
I think Strahan was checked. Yeah, Tom Coughlin really didn't conform to Michael Strahan. Told him, go think about it. You come back when you're ready to play. I want a guy who wants to play. Don't come in here until you're ready, because I don't want you infecting my locker room anymore. And he came back at the end of that camp and said, let's do this. He ended up winning two after that, right? Or one. I don't think he was there to two. Did he? Was he there for the second one? No. He was retired. He won that and retired. You don't like winning 12, 13 games a year? I mean, we felt probably worse with Bill Parcells. And I know the owners talked about it. We all walked on eggshells, as did he. As you learn how to own a team and a franchise. Parcells made you walk on eggshells in fear for your life. We came to practice out of fear. We worked out of fear. We went to games out of fear, but we knew we were prepared. And you know what happened after that? We got Pete Carroll, and you know what? We took over the locker room.
And then you sucked.
And then we sucked. Until the next guy came in and ran the locker room. So be careful what you wish for around here. Because 8-8 ain't fun.
Who the hell is wishing for Bill to not be here?
I haven't heard one player go on record to say that.
No.
Or even remain anonymous to say that. I've actually
Now, you got to choose between if you're a fan.
Would you rather have
Rob Gronkowski or Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick.
Kearns had a lot of this stuff earlier in the year, even prior to Wickersham, about this tension. Things aren't, always rosy. But Kern also just had a thing where a lot of players went to him and said, you know what? It ain't as bad as the people making it out to seem. Okay? So watch what people are reporting.
So that caller was right. Before the 2007 season, Coughlin changed his ways. I just looked up an article in the New York Times. He lightened up, changed his ways. His wife was the key driving force. Yeah.
He made them button their chin straps right at camp and wouldn't take their helmets off.
No, it was like five minutes early means you're on time.
Yeah.
4 minutes early means you were late.
That caller was onto something. Parcells. Before they won anything,
okay,
he changed.
All right, good job, caller. I just thought he told Strahan, stay away until you're ready to play. Think about it.
617-779-0985. The space station is back to Earth, Zoe. We all survived.
Is Felger coming in today?
Yes, he is. We'll tell you about it next.
He's not in his bomb shelter?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The rogue Chinese space station Tiangong-1 made its much-anticipated re-entry into Earth's atmosphere overnight. The 18,000-pound prototype met a fiery end after breaking apart and burning up, scattering its pieces over a remote part of the South Pacific Ocean and landing near Tahiti, according to officials. Radar images taken before re-entry show the station tumbling in its orbit. The space station was being tracked by teams in the U.S., Europe, and China because of uncertainty where it would fall.
So the space station is back.
Last question.
A school bus-sized space station of Chinese origin.
Tahiti's a nice place, right?
Sure is.
Destination, like vacation, honeymoons, all that stuff. So who's tracking it? U.S. and the Chinese?
Everybody.
What about the Tahitians? How do you like to be there and all of a sudden, the sucker's got a pretty good chance to hit Tahiti?
No, it didn't have a good chance of hitting Tahiti.
The closest thing to it was Tahiti. Wasn't that far, considering, they showed the path and where it hit. It was, I would not like to be in Tahiti when this thing was coming down. Say it hit close to shore and this thing was a big chunk. And you got one of those big waves from it. Tidal wave. It's not like it's an asteroid impact. And I know that's the one that would cause the big one. But, man.
You think a school bus would cause a tidal wave?
I don't know, Jim. No, it would just be like throwing a rock in the water. The hell I know. Then what are we making a big deal about it for? And why are we even talking about it?
Because if a school bus fell on your head, it would be a big deal.
Well, okay. It didn't fall as a school bus. It broke up.
Yeah.
Broke up into a number of pieces. It burned up on reentry, the way most things do.
Why do things get so hot up there when it's so cold?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The friction of the air molecules.
I know. So. Yep. Just remember looking underneath that space shuttle when we had that great tour down at NASA. And just all those. I just
like how Aerospace Corp came out on Saturday and said, okay, we've got it. We're going to peg it. We're going to give you the time that this thing is coming in. Mm. Now, by the way, it landed. It came through at 8:16 p.m. last night Eastern Time, 5:16 Pacific. They had it pegged on Saturday at 7:53 p.m. Give or take 7 hours. There was a 14-hour window. Now, they got pretty close.
Well, it depends how much gets burned and how quick other things fall. I mean, that could, you know.
They had it within a half hour.
Yeah.
So they did.
That's pretty good.
They narrowed it down to a pretty good time. They were close.
I just hope we get hit by the big one, that they could narrow it like that, too.
But who gets give or take 7 hours the day before?
How do you like that?
14-hour window.
It's like that movie Deep Impact when an asteroid's coming. You guys are going to die on this day. Like, you know? Missed it by half a day. Sorry, guys.
But nothing happened. Yeah. Nobody was hurt. And it landed, as predicted, in the middle of an ocean. Play the odds, man.
It's amazing the amount of stuff that's just flying around up there in orbit that is just space junk. You know, when you read about this thing and just all the other stuff up there, eventually it's probably going to come down. Nothing of this size, though. This was the biggest thing they had up there.
So you remember how Skylab, you know, everyone kept bringing up Skylab? Yeah. I didn't know this until this weekend. You know, Skylab is just like Skylab all over again. Skylab, Skylab, Skylab. Skylab is 9 times bigger than the space station that re-entered this weekend.
So 9 buses.
Mm. And what happened? Like a little, tiny little square of something? Brushed someone on the shoulder during that one. Mm. But that was 9 school buses. That wasn't a school bus, Jim. 9. 9 times
Ooh,
bigger.
I felt it brush me on the shoulder, but I didn't want to touch it.
I didn't know that part. Yeah, except Skylab was much bigger. This thing burned up. It was nothing.
Yeah. It's a dud. What a letdown.
What a letdown is right.
What a deep impact.
By the way, there's another one. Tiangong 2 is up there right now,
Ooh.
But still in control. They're not worried about that one. That one's all systems go on that one. So maybe we'll get another one of these in a few years. Yeah. It's all good.
Pretty cool, though, talking some space stuff. Yeah, the UFO stuff,
yeah.
You know, a week ago.
Yeah.
There was a jet in, I think, emergency landing in Australia over the weekend. Because an object went into the engine, one of the engines.
Well, I heard there was a bird strike in New York.
Yeah, they didn't know what the...
JFK. Yeah, really? Emergency landing for a bird strike.
Nice.
Took off from Kennedy.
Hmm.
Hit a bird. Lost an engine. Had a turnaround over Queens. Make an emergency landing.
Put that one in a river. Almost like Sully.
A bird got sucked into the engine at about 500 feet altitude.
It's amazing that those engines are that big and that powerful, but yet a little bird can, or geese, could impact it that way, to where it could shut an engine down. You think those things would get sucked right up in it, right through? You know, I mean, the bones aren't that big. Like get hit by a Randy Johnson fastball.
Yeah, but I mean, it gets in the turbine. And
yeah, I guess.
Just think those things. Like, what are those?
Just think those things would be super cranking.
What are, like the, what are the blades called in the engine? What are those called, McCone? You got a name for those?
The juicer,
like the fan blades. Those are not that strong.
Add to it, McCone.
Those are thin.
Turbine blade.
Turbine, okay, it's a blade. Yeah. It's a
don't
blade.
You think that those would sort of vaporize the bird?
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Something that big, yeah. Like, hey, we're made by Lockheed and Boeing, and you can't stand behind it because we're going to burn your ass off, but yet fly in front of us, you small bird, and it will stop a plane. Hey, my God.
But it can also clog things up in there.
Sure, I understand that.
Clog the flow of air going through there. That's a problem, considering it's a jet engine.
Yeah.
Can't clog it up.
You ever get an animal stuck in your furnace like that? Like a mouse or?
No.
Like a squirrel?
Have you?
I think we did a while back, and you smell the burning, and you get up there, and oh, yeah, got caught in the fan here. Got all burned up. Smells like dead squirrel in here. I get up there and clean it and all. Something that big should vaporize the bird. Shouldn't stop a plane that big.
What do you suggest?
I don't know. Put a screen on the front of it.
Pretty sure the screen would get sucked right into the engine.
Yeah.
I think that might be part of the problem.
Yeah.
Telling you, that's what happens. The birds knock out some of those blades, and it's game over for that engine. Just hope you got Sully at the controls.
Yeah, I guess.
Sully,
I
mean,
put a screen on the front of it, it would turn into a lot of little pieces of bird.
I guess so, but I mean, I'm kind of let down by the aerospace engineers that, like, you couldn't think. It's a little bird. You ever hit a bird with your car? Is it going to stop your car?
Well, I saw in the news last night, turkey. There's 14,000 bird strikes a year.
Did you hear about the turkeys? It's mating season for turkeys.
Two
what?
Two car accidents with flying turkeys flying into the windshield.
What the hell, turkeys start flying?
They've always been flyers.
Fat asses are always walking around. Their feathers all cocked out and stuff.
I saw that. There was one in 495 in Norton.
Oh, my God. I came through B.C. here. They're all walking across. It's like 14
Jeep
of them.
Jeep Wrangler.
Just looking
at
the whole windshield.
Yeah, in Framingham, I saw that one. And all weekend long, they're reporting on this in the news. Yep. The driver was safe. The turkey did not survive. Like, I give a flying bleep about the turkey in that scenario. Like, we don't have enough turkeys?
Right. My kid hit her.
I'm not worried about the turkey.
My kid hit a mailbox with her car like a year ago when she first got it because the turkeys were on the road. She avoided the turkey.
Oh,
I'm
I would have crushed that thing.
Kill the turkey.
You don't
with the car.
You don't put lives at danger because of the turkey on the road.
Just sideswipe the whole car with the mailbox just to avoid killing a turkey.
Yeah, no,
they're vicious. I was attacked by one when I landscaped in high school.
What?
That's true. That's
fine. Wait a minute.
I had to bat it out of the air. Yeah.
You batted it out of the air?
It flew at me. Hit it like that.
Barehanded fought a turkey?
I barehanded a turkey,
Oh, man.
Why haven't you told this before on air?
It's never come up before.
What was
There's
it?
Not
the
a
noise
lot of turkey
was,
talk
Did you have a blower?
95.
Did you have a blower? Did you have a weed whacker?
I had like a saw. I was like cutting down like a tree. I look up and the thing's flying at me. I had to bat it out of the air.
When I used to cut grass and I had a riding lawnmower before I started having this guy cut my grass, I used to drive around. And if you get near a tree where nests are and you have these birds, like these swallows come in and they start swooping at your head, I'm like, what the hell's going on? These birds come out of nowhere. They protect the trees that way. Like, you can't get near the tree. They don't like the sound of the mower.
And you had to fight the turkey off.
That's badass.
So once you batted it down, what did it do?
I took off. I was terrified.
You took
off.
Oh,
yeah.
Because that turkey wasn't afraid of you.
No, that kind of, like, flew off to, like, the side.
Turkey probably had another round.
Yeah, 100%.
Was the tree, like, half cut and you just left it there?
No, so I was, like, pulling it back up to the truck. Exactly. And I look up and the thing's flying right at my head.
Coming at you.
Yeah, talons out.
You got to talk to Matt Light about that. He tells stories about how he tried to kill these turkeys and he shot half its head off. And it was freaking out. He had to grow up there and rip its head off. Just to end it. Then they're all flying.
So what's the fix for the turkeys on the highway?
I don't know.
Put a screen up.
Get one of those. I used to have one on the front of my Expedition. Those big, PIA grates. You know, the off-roader ones. Just a couple steel bars in the front with a winch on it. That'll kill a turkey. These turkeys are fat as hell right now, too.
Yeah.
Like, where? My God.
Our cone headlines, please.